Morning, Sefer Tehillim. This is shiur number 43. We are using the commentary of the Am Loez by Rav Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for any of our hundreds and hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon, and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 79, Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Ki ochal es Yaakov es neveyu heishamu. But they have devoured Yaakov and laid waste his habitation. They have devoured Yaakov who did know your name and laid waste his habitation, destroyed the base of Mikdash. Although we sin, you should have poured out your wrath upon them instead, for they might have shown compassion by not annihilating us. Thus the Torah says in Zechariah, for I was angry a little, but they helped forward the affliction. The singular form of the verb ochal alludes to their leader who roused them. The following plural form hishemu pertains to the masses. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Al tiskolonu avonos rishonim maher yikadmunu rachamecho kidalonu ma'od. Do not remember against us the iniquities of those who were before. Let your compassion speedily come to meet us, for we are brought very low. The singers please before Hashem. Do not remember against us the iniquities of those who were before, which refers to the generation who lived at the time of the destruction. Some read Avonas Rishonim as former iniquities. The singer pleads, do not remember against us our former transgressions. Let your compassion speedily come to meet us, for we are brought very low. Quickly have mercy upon us, for we are bereft of merit. Do not remember against us the iniquities of our forefathers, as Yirmiyahu said, our fathers have sinned and are no more, but we bear the suffering of their iniquities, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Eicha. If the children continue the sinful deeds of their fathers, they are also punished for their father's sin. Let your compassion speedily come to meet us. Extend your mercy to us before we are worthy of it, for we are brought very low, emptied of all merit by the enemy pressing us. This may be clarified further by means of a parable. A certain merchant would sell his merchandise to many storekeepers, and he was very exacting about being paid on time. One day he came to a little town to collect his debts. All the storekeepers came to him, all except one who has lost everything. I will not go to him, said the man. Let him come to me and see my privation and poverty. He will then forego what I owe him. Similarly, it says here, do not remember against us the former iniquities when we were riding high, as it says in Tehillim, round about him was very stormy. Rather, let your compassion speedily come to meet us, for we are brought very low. Consider with compassion whatever merit you do not find in us. We are brought very low, we have already reached the lowest point, and the time has come for us to rise. Do not remember against us former iniquities. Then the few good deeds that you find in us will be sufficient to incline the scales of judgment in our favor. We have become very poor, and the poverty has not left us with any good qualities. Let your compassions speedily come to meet us. Do not wait until we have earned your compassion by first being compassionate to others. The Chachamim, the sages, teach that one who is compassionate to Hashem's creatures is shown compassion from heaven. For we are brought very low, and we find it impossible to show compassion ahead of your compassion for us. Pasuk Tes. Pasuk 9. Ozreinu Elohei Yishenu al Devar Kavod Shemecho Vatzileni V'chaper al Chatosenu Leman Shemecho. Help us, O Hashem, of our deliverance for the sake of the glory of your name, and save us and forgive our sins for the sake of your name. The singer implores Hashem to help us come out of exile. Help us, O God of our deliverance, for the sake of the glory of your name. So long as we are in gullus and exile, your name is profaned among the nations, and forgive our sins for your name's sake. Your great name, Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, signifies the attribute of mercy. The singer begins, for in the sake of the glory of your name, but ends, for the sake of your name. He does not mention glory. We ask that you help us at all times, because you are the God of our deliverance. This in itself will magnify the glory of your name. Save us and forgive our sins for the sake of your name, otherwise your name may be profaned in the world. We appeal mainly for the sake of the glory of your name, which at present is in exile together with us. It might be thought that we appeal for the sake of the divine presence, the Shekhinah, so that our own needs too will then be answered. For by praying for another, one is helped first. This is not so. Save us and forgive our sins for the sake of your name, not for any other reason. Other readings say, help us to honor your name. Help us for the sake of the glory of your name that is called upon us. Save us and forgive our sins for the sake of your name, for your name is not complete and your throne is not complete so long as we are in gullus and exile. This pasuk is found in Chumash Shemos. Pasuk Yud, pasuk 10. Lama yomu hagoyim ayei Eloheihem yevada bagoyim leinenu nikmas dam avadecha hashofel. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Let the avenging of your servant's blood that is shed be made known among the nations before our eyes. The singer appeals for the sake of God's name. It should not be profaned among the nations. Why should the nations say, where is their God? Similarly, the Torah says in Chumash Devarim, and he shall say, where are their gods, their rock, whom they trusted? Let them rise up and help you. This may also be explained by means of a parable. A wealthy man had a favorite son, and the spoiled son did not listen to his father's voice. The man then decided to entrust him to a care of pedigree, and there he remained a long time. Each day the father sent good, expensive food, always including more than enough so that the pedigree and his family could share in it. However, the pedigree also substituted his meager meal for the boy's meal and consumed all the delicious food himself. He would say to the boy, I'm surprised that your father is so cruel. Why does he not send you daily portions of good food? Eventually, the son came home in a run-down condition, and he complained that he was not eating well. But I kept sending you the best food every day, exclaimed the father. The son grew very angry at his teacher. This makes me angry. He knew all along how good-hearted you are, yet he kept telling me every day, why doesn't your father send you good food? This analogy conveys the following teaching. Hashem allowed us to be exiled among the nations. We are nourished through them. He sends them plenty so that we too should have. Thus it says, you have put gladness in my heart since when their grain and their wine increase. This makes me angry. Why then should a nation say, where is their God? The singer pleads, let the avenging of your servant's blood that is shed be made known among the nations before our eyes. A man is glad when he sees with his own eyes that he is avenged. As it says, the righteous man shall rejoice when he sees the vengeance. In the future, Hashem will resurrect the killers as well as their victims among the Jews, and they will avenge themselves on their killers. Some relate, from Yunenu to Enenu are torturers. They should be punished before our eyes for having distressed us. A different interpretation says, let us behold the vengeance with our own eyes before the nations shed our blood. The nations have committed two wrongs against us. They have come into your inheritance by killing the saintly ones of Klal Yisrael, and they wronged you by having defiled the holy temple. Corresponding to the first, the singer says here, why should the nations say, where is their God? Even if you want to forego their sins against you, at the very least, let the avenging of your servants' blood that is shed be made known among the nations before our eyes. This vengeance concerns us, not you. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk 11. Tovo lefanecho enkas osir kegodol zeruacho cho hoser ben pnei semuso. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you according to the greatness of your power. Spare, set free those marked for death. The singer calls upon God to take Israel out of the present exile that resembles a prison. Let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. The Jewish people are like prisoners kept in irons, groaning in their prison. According to the greatness of your power, set free Israel from the prison where they are marked for death. You must set them free, for it is not within the power of any mortal man to liberate them. They are near death, so spare them, set them free, let them live. There is a possible allusion to the Messianic king. Thus the Gemara relates that the prophet Eliyahu saw the Mashiach at the gate of Rome, bound and in prison, beaten and lepers, removing and replacing his sores, and groaning over the fate of the Jewish people. We who are in exile implore, please let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. Let him who sits imprisoned at the gate of Rome come before you. Rashi explains that the Mashiach sits opposite to the gate of Rome in heaven. According to the greatness of your power, set free those marked for death, even if we are not sufficiently deserving. A related interpretation is based on the following tale. The Messianic king is seated in the Garden of Eden within a canopy handmade by Chava. Whenever any deceased from this world passes by, he inquires about the exiled Jewish people. When he hears of their suffering, he cries out, and the others console him. The band of Korach visit him and ask when he will bring them back to life. Accordingly, we plead, let the groaning of the prisoner come before you. Set free the Mashiach, who is imprisoned within the canopy of Chava, perpetually groaning and lamenting. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12, V'hoshev l'shcheinenu shivosayim el cheikom cherposam asher cherfucho adornoi. We pay to our neighbors sevenfold into their bosom their disgrace whereby they have reviled you, O Hashem. The singer asks for vengeance due to the profanation of Hashem's name. For every single disgrace whereby they have reviled you, O Hashem, repay to our neighbors sevenfold in their bosom. They have reviled you, you, O Hashem, by asking, where is their God? As we learned in Pasuk Yud, we are more sensitive and suffer more on account of your disgrace than because of our own distress. Sevenfold corresponds to the seven names of Hashem that is forbidden to erase. Accordingly, it says, because they have reviled you, repay them sevenfold. For keeping us imprisoned like thieves, they will have to pay twice, and for having shed our blood like water, they will pay fivefold. Altogether, they will thus pay sevenfold. Some say that Shavu'asayim means seven times seven, corresponding to the 49 curses that descended upon us after the destruction of the first base of Mikdash. We ask Hashem to repay in the same manner, in the same measure, to our neighbors. Let it return sevenfold into their bosom at once. Do not hold back your retribution as you did concerning Cain. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Vanachnu amcho vitzon marisechem noda lecha le'olam ledor vador nesapati lusecha. So we, your nation, and the flock of your pasture will thank you forever. For generation after generation, we will relate your praise. We are not like the nations who were victorious yet did not acknowledge their gratitude to you. We, your nation, and the flock of your pasture will thank you forever. For generation after generation, we do not do so only among ourselves, but we will relate your praise to others. We who are in your nation and the flock of your pasture will thank you forever. We will do so when we are in Golus and exile, and also when we will have been redeemed. For just as one must pronounce a benediction, a bracha for the good, so must one pronounce a bracha for the bad. We will thank you forever, for generation after generation. We will relate your praise Unlike angels who only utter praise at fixed times, we will give you thanks all the time forever. The Medrash expounds into their bosom. Previous pasuk, you will repay them for what they did in the holy temple that is located in the bosom of the world. Thus it says in Yechezkel, and from the bosom of the earth to the lower temple court. Chapter 80, pasuk 1. Nam Netzeach El Shoshanim Edus L'Asa Mizmor. For the conductor Pan Shoshanim Edus, a testimony, a psalm of Asa. The present psalm was composed by Yosef as a prayer for the redemption of the exiles. Shoshanim referred to a musical instrument, and Edus is linked here to Edei, a gem. This psalm was Asaph's gem or ornament. Some say that the psalm refers to the four exiles. Regarding the Babylonian exile, the singer says, for the conductor Hashem should act to redeem the exiles. Regarding the days of Mordechai and Esther, he says, the Pan Shoshanim, an allusion to Shushan. Regarding the miracle of the oil in the days of the Greeks who were defeated by the Maccabees, it says a testimony. The miracle spoke well of the Jewish people. Regarding the final redemption, it says a psalm of Asaph. For the third Beis Hamikdash will then be built, and Asaph, who was a Levi, will chant psalms. Others say that the psalm refers to the exile of the 10 tribes by Sancheirer, and it refers to the deliverance of the tribes of Yehuda and Binyamin in the time of King Chizkiyahu. It also refers to the building of the second base, the Mikdash, and to its destruction. The psalm includes a prayer for the Jewish people and for the future redemption, as will become clear. The phrase, "Restore us and cause your face to shine and we will be delivered," appears three times, all in our chapter. This pertains to the troubles brought upon Klal Yisrael by the kings of Aram during the reign of Yehu. As it says, for the king of Aram had destroyed them and had made them like the dust and threshing. The pasuk that's found in the Lachem base. For the conductor upon Shoshanim roses, this is a psalm for the Jews in its rhyme, who were like a rose among thorns, as the pasuk says in Shir Hashir. They did not become assimilated among the Egyptians, as the Holy One was to bear witness. Asaph therefore composed this psalm in everlasting testimony of their merit. Pasuk base, pasuk 2. Ro'er Yisrael ha'azina noheg katzon Yosef Yosef ha'kruvim hufiyam. O shepherd of Israel, give ear, you who lead Yosef like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, appear. O shepherd of Israel, you who herd them and give them to drink and satisfy all their needs, give ear to my prayer. You shepherd Israel and sustain them like Yosef sustained his brothers and his fathers in Mitzrayim. Even as Yosef in his youth herded his flock with compassion, led the flock of your people with compassion. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, appear. You revealed yourself a number of times as enthroned upon the cherubim. Appear at this time as you appeared before. The singer depicts the excellence of Israel at the time that Hashem bestowed upon us all the good things, wealth, wisdom, and might. He prays that Hashem once again grant us those three gifts. O shepherd of Israel, give ear. You have always been our faithful shepherd, and we lack nothing. Just as you once led Yosef like a flock, so lead us now. Just as you are enthroned upon the cherubim, would appear to Moshe and teach him wisdom, appear now as well. Just as you showed your might in the past, before Ephraim and Menashe, arouse your might. As we're going to learn this in the next puzzle. In his blessing of Yosef, Yaakov spoke of the shepherd, the stone of Israel, blessing that is found in Chumash Bereishis, as the source of blessing. Hence the singer says here, you who lead Yosef like a flock, and he says, you who are enthroned upon the cheruvim. In the beginning, the Aron was located in the land portion of Yosef, in Shiloh, and then it was located in the land portion of Binyamin, the two sons of Rachel. The kingdom of Israel, after it separated from the kingdom of Yehuda, upon the death of Shlomo, was called Yosef or Ephraim, and the people were called the children of Ephraim, for the birthright of Reuven was transferred to Yosef. Thus Yaakov said, "Let my name be named upon them, that is by the name Yosef, just as they are called by my name Israel. You who have been the shepherd of Israel and have led them as one leads a flock of sheep, give ear to the prayer of your people in Golos. Just as then you appeared to them from between the cherubim, the Holy of Holies appear to them now as well in your glory." The Torah speaks of three particular epochs. In the beginning he guided the others, as Yaakov said, "Hashem, who has been my shepherd all my life along this until this day." This corresponds here to "O Shepherd of Israel." The second epoch included the going out from Mitzrayim and the wandering of the Jews in the wilderness. Hence, "You who leads Yosef like a flock." Yosef is mentioned because at first the Aron would be in the land portion of Ephraim, the son of Yosef. The third epoch pertains to the time of Shlomo HaMelech. He built a holy base in Mikdash, and the Jewish people were entirely at peace. "In his day you appeared as enthroned upon the cheruvim in the base of Mikdash." The Chachamim say that the Shekhinah appeared four times. The first time was in Mitzrayim, as it says, "You who are enthroned upon the cheruvim appeared." The second appearance was also in Mitzrayim, as it says, "He appeared in the Mount of Paran," a pasuk is found in Chumash Devarim. And the third pertains to the days of Gog and Magog, as it says, "Hashem, the God of vengeance, the God of vengeance appeared." We will learn this later on in the Sefer Tehillim. The fourth will be the days of Mashiach, as it says, "Out of Sion, the perfection of beauty, Hashem has appeared." Also, we learned this before in the Sefer Tehillim. The singer turns to Hashem with a plea. "You were the shepherd of Israel before the kingdom was divided. Then also after it was divided, you led Yosef like a flock, since Rehoboam reigned as king of Yehuda and Jeroboam as king of Israel, even as you led them in those times and dwelt in the midst of their defilement. So give ear to our prayers and appear to us, bestow upon us your abundant influence." According to the Medrash, Asaph said, "Master of the worlds, if they have sinned before you like men, exact from them as if they were sheep. Sheep are not guilty of iniquity and do not incur punishment." Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. "Lifnei Ephraim uvinyamin umenashe orero eskubrezecho ulecho vishu osa lonu." Before Ephraim and Binyamin and Menashe, arouse your might and come to deliver us. Having just mentioned Yosef, the Torah now speaks of his two sons and of Binyamin, his brother from the same mother and father. Ephraim is mentioned before Menashe, even as Yaakov had placed him first, as found in Chumash Bereishis. Before the tribes of Ephraim and Binyamin and Menashe, arouse your might. Grant them the same kind of might they possessed before. Thus the Torah speaks of might regarding the three of them. Moshe said about Yosef, "His horns are like the horns of a wild ox," as we learned this in Chumash Devarim. And Yaakov said about Binyamin, "Binyamin is a ravenous wolf." So come, march before us to deliver us. The obligation is yours, the call to deliver us. Rashi says, "Arouse your might before Ephraim, Binyamin, and Menashe, when they will be in need of your deliverance. Why? For yours is the obligation to deliver us. It is fitting for you to bring deliverance to the guilty and to the innocent, as it says, 'I have seen ro'o ro'isi, the affliction of my people who are in Mitzrayim,'" pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. and it's seen there twice. I see that in the future they will anger me. Yet have I seen and responded to their suffering due to the oath that I have sworn to Avram. The singer pleads for the deliverance of Ephraim in the war against Aram. For when the king of Aram besieged Shomron, he sent a dispatch to Achav, "You will give me your silver and your gold and your wives and your children." The pasuk that's found in Malachim Aleph. He also pleads for Menashe in the days of Yochas, son of Yehu, when Aram pressed Israel and Yochas defeated him three times. He pleads for Binyamin in the days of Achashverosh, Mordechai having been of the tribe of Binyamin. The Medrash says the Torah mentions here Ephraim before Binyamin, for when offerings were brought by the princesses of the tribes, as found in Chumash Bamidbar, the sons of Yosef merited to bring offerings ahead of the children of Binyamin. Pasuk Dalet, Pasuk 4. Elokim Hashivenu Vo'er Panecho V'Nivo Sheyo. O Hashem, restore us and cause your face to shine, and we will be delivered. O Hashem, restore us to our land, cause your face to shine, and we will be saved. You have only to cause your face to shine in order for us to be saved. Another interpretation says, we will be delivered. What is that deliverance? That you cause your face to shine. In a time of wrath, he conceals his face, and in time of goodwill, he causes his face to shine through his supervision of us. The singer pleads, let us merit that Hashem should shine upon us. We will then return to him utterly penitent out of trepidation and shame. Restore us before we begin to return to you. Return us to you, we will then immediately be graced with fine qualities and good deeds. Cause your face to shine and we will be delivered. We will merit to know the light of your countenance. The mitzvahs performed by the Jewish people elicit illumination as the shine of the Shekhinah, the divine presence. When this happens and the supernal countenance is beheld in the performance of mitzvahs, that is an auspicious time of divine goodwill. The singer asks that deliverance come as the open manifestation of Hashem's intervention, the shining of his face. It should not be as in the time of Mordechai and Esther, when deliverance came indirectly and his face was hidden, for Esther had to marry Achashverosh. Pasuk 5. Hashem Elokim Tzevaos Ad Mosai Oshanto B'Tfilas Amechok. O Hashem, God of hosts, how long will you fume with anger against the prayer of your people? O Hashem, God of hosts, you are the source of compassion and the God of the host called Israel, as it says, that I may bring out my armies from Mitzrayim. How long will you fume with anger against the prayer of your people? How long will the prayers of your servants continue to rise up to you like smoke, Oshan? This is an image of windows kept closed to prevent the smoke outside from entering into the house. The singer says, how long will you continue to close the windows of heaven to keep our prayers from entering? The singer alludes prophetically to Israel's troubles in the days of Antiochus, who greatly distressed the Jewish people. How long will the prayer of your people be regarded by you as just so much smoke? Welcome prayer is comparable to incense, as it says, let my prayer be set forth as incense before you, a passage that's found later on in Sefer Tehillim. But prayer regarded with anger is as smoke of a foul odor. Prayer is likened to a shovel that turns over the attribute of stern judgment to become the attribute of compassion. All of our prayers ask for one thing. We should always be your people and your inheritance, as we find the Pasuk of the Chumash Devarim. Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Ha'achaltem lechem dima vatash kemo bidmo'os sholish. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in large measure. Even at mealtime, you have fed them with the bread of tears. They shed tears while eating, as it says, my tears have been my food day and night. It's a pasuk that we already learned in Sefer Tehillim. you have given them tears to drink in large measure. Some explain the latter part of the pasuk as referring to the bubble exile. It lasted 70 years, which is one third as long as the Egyptian exile. Instead of eating three times every day, their food and drink will be tears the entire day. So awful was the enemy's power over them, they had to shed many tears for every morsel of bread. They were also forced to beg and shed tears in large measure for every drink of water. The Medrash says Esav shed three tears when Yaakov took away his blessings. One tear he shed from the right eye, one from the left eye, and one tear still adheres to the eye, as it says, and given them the third of the tears to drink. Rab Abin said in the name of Rab Simlai, the congregation of Israel said, Master of the world, when the wicked Esav shed three tears, you gave him affluence and mastery over the world. Behold the plight of your sons, their eyes stream tears every day, and their devotion to you is as constant as staple bread, as it says, my tears have been my food day and night. Assuredly they are entitled to your mercy. Some perceive an allusion to the kingdom of Antiochus as the third affliction. Please turn tape over to side B. Although the exile of Persia and Media occurred earlier, it is reckoned as part of the bubble exile. Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Tesimenu modon lishcheinenu voyuvenu yilagu lomo. You make us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies mock you as they please. They quarrel with their neighbors because they are in exile, and our enemies mock us as they please. They mock by profaning the name of Hashem when they ask, where's their God? Plus, we already learned. Actually, Yilagu Lomo means literally they mock themselves. The singer resorts to this oblique expression in order to avoid saying openly that they mock Hashem. Another interpretation says, our enemies see our neighbors quarreling with us, and they mock them for quarreling with such a lowly people. The Jewish people have been in Golus three times. The first exile was the expulsion of the tribe Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, when Sennacherib captured the land of Sihon and Og on the other side of the Yarden. Then the 10 tribes plus a half a tribe were exiled by Sennacherib and others. This did not include the tribes of Yehuda and Benjamin. The third exile was the expulsion of the tribes of Yehuda and Benjamin by Nebuchadnezzar in the days of Zedekiah. Thus the present pasuk is repeated three times, corresponding to those three exiles. One might also say that these three instances refer, one, to the exiled inhabitants of Lela and Chibor, two, the exile of Rome, and three, the exile of Yishmael. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Elokim Tzavo'oz Hashivenu V'ho'er Panecho V'nivosheyo. O Hashem of hosts, restore us and cause your face to shine, and we will be delivered, saved. Here the Torah refers to the two exiles of Yehuda. It says a second time, O Hashem, restore us and cause your face to shine, and we will be delivered. Earlier, in Pasuk Dalet, it said only, O Hashem, rather than the present O Hashem of hosts. The Torah says, all the families on earth whose master you are, the hosts of the city of Hashem, are debased to the nethermost pit. Why are we in the worse condition than all the other families on earth? Similarly, Chana said, O Hashem of hosts, Pasuk is found in Shmuel Aleph, from among all your hosts give me a son. Pasuk Tes, Pasuk 9. Gefen mi Mitzrayim tasiya tegoresh goyim dati to eho. You have caused a vine to journey out of Egypt. You have cast out nations and planted it. Now the singer reflects on the greatness of the Jews when they emerge from Mitzrayim. Israel is likened to a vineyard, as it says a pasuk in Yeshayahu, for the house of Israel is the vineyard of Hashem of hosts. You have caused a vine, Israel, to journey out of Egypt. The singer speaks figuratively of a traveling vine. We find a similar expression in Iyov that says, he has caused my hope to journey like a tree. Israel is likened to a vine whose fruit is the choicest of all fruit. Thus we find that the Torah lists the vine ahead of the others of the five species, as found in the Chumash Devarim. The Torah also says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness, a pasuk that's found in Hosea. After you took them out of Egypt, you have cast out nations from the land of Israel and planted it, the vine. It is usual for vines to be uprooted from one place and planted in another place. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk 10. Piniso lefoneho v'tashresh soroseho sheho v'tmale oritz. You have cleared a place for it and it took deep root and filled the land. The singer depicts how the Holy One planted the people of Israel to assure the success of the plant and produce fruit. You have cleared all the rocks and made a place for it. You then inserted the roots deep in the earth so no wind would upset it, and it took deep root. Many roots were planted until they filled the land. In this manner, Hashem fixed the roots of the vine. As in the previous pasuk, Israel in the land of Israel. At the outset, he cleared a place for the vine. Then he placed the roots until they took deep root and filled the earth. The double expression of etashvesh shorosheho, you rooted the roots, conveys that he rooted their souls in the land of Israel on high as well as in the land of Israel below. All the roots of the Jewish souls are located in the supernal land corresponding to the terrestrial land of Israel. After you took out the children of Israel from the house of bondage, you settled them in the lands of the nations, there to become a sturdy vine yielding fruit to Torah study and the performance of mitzvahs. A vine is useless for anything else except to produce its particular fruit. The Medrash Tilim abounds with statements comparing Israel to a vine. Vines are not planted randomly, but in line after line, and the same holds true for Israel. The vine is the lowliest of all trees, and the Jewish people likewise appear debased in this world, but in the future they will inherit the earth, a pasuk that is found in Sefer Yeshayahu, even as the leaves of the vine cover up the clusters of grapes, so the untutored of the Jewish people are a protective cover for the Torah scholars. When the vine bears fruit, it is a source of joy to the whole world, delighting both Hashem and men. The wine is used for libations on the Mizbeach, and it is served to kings. When, however, it does not bear fruit, its branches are of no use whatsoever. Then everyone treads it down underfoot. The vine is full of tangles and is thus unfit for any kind of workmanship. The same is true of the Jewish people. When they safeguard their uniqueness through adherence to the Torah, they are a precious commodity for all the nations. But not so when they are an emptied vine, as the pasuk says in Sefer Hosea. And if anybody is interested, the entire Sefer Hosea has been translated with the commentary from Am Loewes on tape or CD. Just as the vine does not accept grafts, so the Jews in Egypt safeguarded the purity of their lineage. They were redeemed on account of their chastity, unlike the nations of Canaan who committed every abomination and the land spit them out, as found in Chumash Vayikra, as mentioned there. The Zohar says there is none so broken down submissive as the vine, since both its grapes and its branches are squashed underfoot. The same holds true for the olive tree whose olives are squashed. Israel in Golus is likened to both. Hence it says, you have caused a vine to journey out of Mitzrayim. The same will be true at the end of the final exile, for the house of Israel is a vineyard of Hashem of hosts. A pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. The Jewish people are also likened to an olive tree, as it says, Hashem called your name a green olive tree, fair with goodly fruit, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yirmiyahu. It is also indicated that after their final redemption, they will be consecrated to the holy temple. Thus, wine is set aside for libations on the altar, and olive oil is used for lighting the menorah lamp. Having pleaded, O Hashem, restore us, the singer now appeals for Hashem not to delay our return in reprisal for our transgressions. Let him hasten to advance our redemption, just as this happened when he caused a vine to journey out of Mitzrayim, as we find in the previous pasuk, as otherwise they would have been irretrievably submerged in the 50 grades of defilement. Pasuk Yud Aleph, pasuk 11. Kosu Horim Sila Vanofeha Arzeel. Mountains were covered by its shadow, its branches became mighty cedars. Its branches multiplied so abundantly that mountains were covered by its shadow. The individual branches grew so much that they became like mighty cedars. This alludes to the Torah. No Torah learning anywhere is as the Torah learning in the land of Israel. More specifically, this refers to its Torah sages whose merit protects the land. This also alludes to the leaders of the community. They are the roots who must protect the people and keep them from evil by their counsel and leadership. For its branches became mighty cedars. The root makes the branches grow well. Likewise, the sages will cultivate students of the Torah, as the singer goes on to say, she sent out her branches to the sea and her shoots to the river. Next puzzle, we're going to learn this. Students are likened to fruits. Since students are called sons of their teacher, and wisdom is likened to water and a river. Pasuk Yud Beis, Pasuk 12. Tishalach ketzireha ad yom ve'el nohor yon koseha. She sent out her branches to the sea and her shoots to the river. Having mentioned her ample roots and branches, the singer claims the extended spread of the roots, the branches and the shoots. She sent out her thick, hard branches to the sea and her shoots to the river. The shoots are thin branches under a year old. To the sea, the Torah describes the boundary of the land of Israel. I will set your bounds from the Sea of Suf, the Red Sea, to the Sea of the Plishtim, Mediterranean, and from the desert to the river, pasuk that's found in Chumash Shemos. Accordingly, the singer speaks of the shoots extending to the river. This means the river Euphrates as the northern border, as it says in the Torah, in Chumash Devarim, from the wilderness to the Lebanon, from the river Euphrates to the uttermost sea will be your border. A subtle interpretation says, we often see native Jews from the land of Israel travel to distant forsaken places and there strike roots. Eventually they send help to the poor of the land of Israel in times of distress and privation. Accordingly, the singer says here, she sent out her branches to the sea and her shoots to the river. It resembles a man cutting off a branch from a vine and replanting it elsewhere to yield fruit. Pasuk Yud Gimel, Pasuk 13. Lama paratzto gedeireha ve'oruha kol ovrei dorach. Why have you broken down her fences so that all who pass by the way pluck her? Having spoken about the beauty of the vine, its roots and long branches, the singer turns to Hashem with a question. Why have you broken down her fences after you have taken so much effort to cultivate the vines? Why did you break down the protective fences placed all around them? Now all who pass by the way will enter the vineyard and pluck the grapes. After the vine flourished so nicely, why have you broken down her fences? Now she stands like some fig tree at a crossroads, and every passerby plucks it at will. When the fences around a vineyard are broken, the vineyard is invaded and plundered. The same thing happened to the Jewish people. Babel, Media, and Rome came and plundered her. Their princesses and armies plundered her, as it says, all who pass by the way pluck her. After you removed your protective supervision from Israel, all passers by picked off her fruit as it says in Chumash Devarim, I will hide my face from them, and they will be devoured. Why have you broken down her fences to exile them from the land of Israel? All who pass by is an allusion to the fact that the nations trespass the 7 Noahide laws, hence they pluck the vine that belongs to others. Pasuk Yudalid, Pasuk 14. V'charsemena chazir miyo'ar v'ziz soda yur'ena. The boar out of the wood ravages her. That which moves in the field feeds on her. Because you have broken down her fences, the boar out of the wood ravages her. This alludes to Esav, Rome, who entered the vineyard and filled his belly with its delightful foods. That which moves in the field feeds on her. Some say that this refers to a species of birds. The Targum says that it is a wild bird symbolizing the Jewish people. The Duke of Prague once asked Rabbi Yonason of Prague how it is that the Torah refers to kingship as a boar. Give me a satisfactory answer, he told him, and I will permit you to print the order of Kachim and the order of the Haris of the Talmud. Rabbi Yonason took out a coin of the kingdom that carried the likeness of a pig and said, because you have done this, that is the reason the Jewish sages have interpreted the present verse as referring to your kingship. In the Pasuk, the letter Ayin of Meyar is small and hangs higher than the other letters, whereas the Ayin of Shema is large and firmly fixed. This conveys that in the merit of the Jewish people reciting the Shema, they proclaim the oneness of Hashem as found in the Chumash Devarim. Will the Ayin of Meyar, which alludes to Esav, be abolished? Thus it says in Yeshayahu, for they will see an eye for an eye when Hashem returns to Zion. The letter Ayin also means an eye. Another explanation is based on the following teaching of the Talmud. When a fence safeguards the tree against reptiles and rats, the owners of the tree do not resign themselves to the loss of the fruit that falls to the ground. By analogy, the singer asks here, why have you broken down her fences, so that all who pass by the way pluck her, and the boar out of the wood ravages her to make her abhorrent? Why have you done this, if you have not given up on us? Pasuk Tesvav, Pasuk 15. Elikim Tzvo'os, Shuvno HaBeit Mishamayim Ur'euv Kod Gefen Zos. O God of hosts, return, we beseech you, look from heaven, and behold, and be mindful of this vine. Return, retract what you have done, that you have broken down her fences. O God of hosts, although you are most high, look from heaven, and behold our devastating degradation. Be mindful of this vine, it should be no longer be trampled by the boars. Pasuk Tes Zion, Pasuk 16. V'chano ashenoto yiminecho v'albein imatzdoloch. And of the stock which your right hand has planted, and the branch the son that you make strong adopted for yourself. Be mindful of this vine, which is the previous pasuk, and also the stock which your right hand has planted. Some say the word chanom means the entire vineyard. Actually, chanom means the foundation or support for some structure. And the singer says figuratively that this refers to the holy Beis Hamikdash and to Yerushalayim. They are the foundation of Israel's existence. Yitzchak loved Esav, but Hashem chose the vine of Yaakov over Esav as the foundation for the Jewish people. He is the branch, the son of Yitzchak, that you made strong, adopted for yourself. And this vine is now burnt with fire and cut down, and the singer implores the Almighty to be mindful of this vine. A related interpretation says, remember David HaMelech, who laid the foundation for the holy Beis HaMikdash, and who is the foundation for the Mashiach. You are my son, Hashem said to David, and we plead, remember this son whom you adopted and made strong for yourself. Be mindful of this foundation. These pesukim thus call upon Hashem to consider the merit of Klal Yisrael, the vine, the merit of the holy temple, the foundation, and the merit of David the son. Thus the expression behold Pokat in the previous pasuk parallels what Yosef said about the redemption from Mitzrayim. Hashem will surely take note of you. Pokad Divkoit Eskam, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis. The redemption from Mitzrayim has already taken place, and here we pray for the future redemption. Pasuk Yud Zayin, pasuk 17. Surufa be'esh kesucha migaras panecho yovedu. It is burnt with fire and cut down. They perish at the loud rebuke of your countenance. That plant which you previously adopted and made strong is now burnt with fire and cut down. Its branches and shoots have perished at the loud rebuke of your countenance, for you have hidden your face. Pasuk Yudches, Pasuk 18. Tihi yodcho al ish, iminecho al ben adam, imatzdoloch. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of the man whom you made strong for yourself. Save and protect the Jewish people. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand. Extend your protection and supervision to the men of great distinction, and upon the son of the man, the masses of the people whom you made strong for yourself. We find a similar distinction in the earlier pasuk. Both sons of Adam and sons of man, vindicate the promises you have written in the Torah and its words of consolation. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of the man whom you made strong for yourself. Some say that the Torah refers to the Messianic king. In the future, the Holy will place him at his right hand and Avram at his left hand. Thus it says, be with the Messianic king and strengthen him so that he may redeem the Jewish people. I appeal not for my sake, but for the son of the man whom you made strong, adopted for yourself. And this means the people of Israel who are called man, Adam. Pasuk Yotes, Pasuk 19. Lo nosog mimecho techayenu v'shimcho nikra. Then we will not turn back from you, revive us, and we will call upon your name. If you will confer this loving kindness upon us, we will not turn back away from you. Revive us in Golus and exile. We are like the dead, and we will call upon your name. All the time we will keep proclaiming that you are our Redeemer. A different reading of the pasuk is based on the following story related in the Yerushalmi Talmud. A man named Alexander incurred the death penalty, but his sentence was annulled because he carried the emperor's name. It was feared people might say that the emperor Alexander the Great was hanged. Now, if that is so about someone who carries the name of a king of flesh and blood, it is assuredly so for someone who is called by the name of the king of the world. Thus the singer says here, we will not turn back from you, even if we have sinned against you. Revive us, for we are called by your name, B'Shimcha Nikra. Anyone called by Shem's name is spared. We will not turn back away from you. Do not give us cause to turn away from you. Revive, restore us out of this exile, and we will recall your goodness and your might. We will call upon your name. But even if you turn us back empty-handed, we will not turn back from appealing to you. As it says, favor me with grace, O Hashem, for to you I will call all day. A man approaches another for something he needs. If he's turned away empty-handed, he will depart to try elsewhere. But if he has no other way of getting it, he will not relent. He will not leave the man whom he regards as his savior. Hence the singer says here, favor me with grace, O Hashem. Know that if you do not grant my wish, to you I will call all day. Pasuk Chav, Pasuk 20. Hashem Elikim Tzavo'oz Hashivenu Ho'er Panecho V'nivo Sheya. O Hashem, God of hosts, restore us, cause your face to shine, and we will be delivered. At the conclusion of the psalm, the singer mentions the two hallowed appellations of Hashem found earlier, plus a third. The name Elikim, God, designates the attribute of law, by right the Jewish people are worthy of being redeemed. The name Elikim Tzavos, God of hosts, plus that we learned already, conveys that he is the master over nature. Even if we are submerged in exile, and there is no natural way for us to be saved, you can disrupt the systems of nature and redeem us. Here the triple name Hashem Elohim Tzavaos appears, including his great name Hashem, that designates the attribute of mercy. Taken together, the triple name means that he can mercifully disrupt the patterns of heaven and by his power and oneness perform signs and miracles in order to redeem us. O Lord God of hosts, restore us, cause your face to shine, and we will be delivered. Having said, we will call upon your name in the earlier pasuk. The singer mentions Yudkei Vavkei, the glorious and awesome eternal name. The singer beseeches Hashem in the name of the congregation of Israel not to conceal his countenance from him, for his concealment is the most awful tribulation of every exile. Cause your face to shine so that Israel's deliverance might come. The Medrash says we have nothing else but the shining of your face. We will be delivered only if you deliver us. The Jewish people are not concerned about their exile, only about the exile of the Shekhinah, the Divine Presence. The deliverance of Hashem from his exile is our deliverance. When we will be planted again in our land as in days of old, and we will call upon your name, that is, we will be called the children of the living God, a pasuk that is found in Hosea, then it will become known that Hashem is one and his name is one, a pasuk found in Zechariah. Hashem of hosts, then it will be known that he is the God of the host of Israel, for you will then restore us all. You will cause your face to shine upon us through your supervision over us, and we will be delivered from all the generations of exile. Pasuk, chapter 81, pasuk 1. Lam natseyach ala gitis la'osof, for the conductor upon the gitis by osof. Pasuk base. Arninu lelekim uzenu horiu lelekei Yaakov. Rejoice in song to Hashem, our strength. Shout to the God of Yaakov. This psalm was composed by Asaph about the day of Rosh Hashanah and about the traditional blowing of shofar on that day. The Levium would chant it in the Beis HaMikdash on Rosh Hashanah, for it celebrates the termination of the Jews' enslavement in Mitzrayim, which took place on Rosh Hashanah, and it also mentions the blowing of shofar. The psalm mentions the going out from Mitzrayim because all the Yom Tovim, the holidays, revolve about the going out of Mitzrayim. Although the Jews were redeemed from Mitzrayim, Egypt, only later, in the month of Nisan, the anguish of slave labor was ended for them on Tishrei. Some say that this psalm was sung by the descendants of Oved, the Gathite, and the Asaf when they stood guard duty in the Beis HaMikdash. Accordingly, it says, Lam natseyach al hagitis la'osof, literally to be orchestrated for the gitis and for osof. In the previous psalm, the Jews lamented their deep distress and the length of their galus, the exile. Here, the singer prophetically brings them words of consolation. Rejoice in song to God our strength. Instead of complaining, we must rejoice with songs of praise that the attribute of judgment hovers over us. Then we will not be afraid of perishing in Golus. For God is our strength and he has promised, and yet for all that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor will I abhor them, to destroy them utterly and to break my covenant with them. A pasuk that's found in Chumash Vayikra. Rosh Hashanah is the day of divine judgment. Hashem acts as Elohim, the attribute of judgment. On this day, rejoice in song. On this day, the Jewish people dress in white, eat, drink, and rejoice to demonstrate their trust in Hashem. He will bring them into the light on this day, for God is our strength, and he will set judgments in the light. Hashem deals with us in exile and galus by the attribute of judgment, so rejoice in song to Hashem for giving us the power and the strength to bear the judgment. The strength and the might we possess are not our own, so praise God for them. Rejoice in song alludes to the three special prayer chants recited on Rosh Hashanah, Malchus, Zechronos, and Shofos. Remembrance, shofars, shofar blowing, and shout alludes to blowing the shofar. Shout to Hashem of Yaakov, who has answered you in the time of your distress. Rejoice in song to Hashem, who showed his strength and might in Egypt on our behalf. Shout by sounding the ram's horn. Some say that the singer addresses the exiles. While you are immersed in gullus and exile, proclaim joyfully of the kingship of Hashem in the world. Let everyone know that you are not a knavish and unwise nation, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Devarim. Shout by royal trumpeting to show joy at the revelation of Hashem's kingdom. Shout to the God of Yaakov. To what can this be compared? Compare it to a king who decided to build a palace and sought advice from three of his friends. The first one said, remember that in the beginning there was a mountain. The second one said, remember that in the beginning there was a field. The third one said, remember that in the beginning there was a palace. The others are called friends of Hashem. Avram was called a mountain, Yitzchak was called a field, and Yaakov was called a house. By your life, cried the king, I will name the palace by your name. Thus the Torah says, come and let us go up to the mountain of Hashem, to the house of Hashem of Yaakov, a pasuk that's found in Sefer Yeshayahu. For Yaakov said, there is no other than the house of Hashem, and this is the gate of heaven, a pasuk that's found in Chumash Bereishis, and that is therefore a great honor for the house. Pasuk Gimel, Pasuk 3. Su'u zimra usnu sof kinor noim novel. Take up the melody and sound the trimble, the sweet harp with the lyre. Now the singer turns to address the Levium, who chant songs upon the platform. Take up the song of praise and sound the timbrel, the sweet harp with the lyre. Play the instruments and rejoice on this day, for joyousness in Hashem is your strength. The pasuk that's found in the Nehemiah, as it says here, Hashem is our strength. Because the psalm speaks of Rosh Hashanah, when the Levim played musical instruments and also sounded the shofar, the singer says, take up the melody and sound the timbrel and blow the horn at the new moon. That's the next pasuk we're going to learn about Hashem. In the previous psalm, the singer said, cause your face to shine, and we will be delivered. Now he announces the happy tiding that when the redemption comes, we shall be able to rejoice and to play the timbrel and the sweet harp. Similarly, we find in the Torah that the early prophets would arouse the prophetic emanation through the medium of melody. As it says, you will meet the band of prophets coming down from the high places with a lyre and a timbrel and a flute and a harp. A pasuk found in Shmuel Aleph, and also says the same thing about Elisha in Melachim Beis. We are learning Sefer Tehillim. This is Shir number 43. We are using the commentary of the Am Loes by Rav Shmuel Yishalmi. May the learning of Torah be a merit for myself, yourself, for listening to this tape or CD, or for any of our hundreds and hundreds of Torah lectures online at EnglishTorahTapes.com. May the learning of Torah also be a merit for the memory of Aaron Fuchs, Shimon, and Hinda Manila of blessed memory. We are holding in chapter 79, Pasuk Zion, Pasuk 7. Ki ochal es Yaakov es neveyu heishamu. For they have devoured Yaakov and laid waste his habitation. They have devoured Yaakov who did know your name and laid waste his habitation, destroyed the base of Mikdash. Although we sinned, you should have poured out your wrath upon them instead. For they might have shown compassion by not annihilating us. Thus the Torah says in Zechariah, for I was angry a little, but they helped forward the affliction. The singular form of the verb ochal alludes to their leader who roused them. The following plural form, hishemu, pertains to the masses. Pasuk Ches, Pasuk 8. Al tizkolonu avonos rishonim maher yikadmunu rachamecha kidalonu ma'od. Do not remember against us the iniquities of those who were before. Let your compassion speedily come to meet us, for we are brought very low. The singers pleased before Hashem. Do not remember against us the iniquities of those who were before, which refers to the generation who lived at the time of the destruction. Some read Avonas Rishonim as former iniquities. The singer pleads, do not remember against us our former transgressions. Let your compassion speedily come to meet us, for we are brought very low. Quickly have mercy upon us, for we are bereft of merit. Do not remember against us the iniquities of our forefathers, as Yirmiyahu said, our fathers have sinned and are no more, but we bear the suffering of their iniquities, a passage that's found in Sefer Eicha. If the children continue their sinful deeds with their fathers, they are also punished for their father's sin. Let your compassion speedily come to meet us. Extend your mercy to us before we are worthy of it, for we are brought very low, emptied of all merit by the enemy pressing us. This may be clarified further by means of a parable. A certain merchant would sell his merchandise to many storekeepers, and he was very exacting about being paid on time. One day he came to a little town to collect his debts. All the storekeepers came to him, all except one who has lost everything. "I will not go to him," said the man. "Let him come to me and see my privation and poverty. He will then forego what I owe him." Similarly, it says here, do not remember against us the former iniquities when we were riding high, as it says in Tehillim, round about him.